in with my spiritual leader. Every time that I've checked in with my spiritual leader, it's been a blessing to me and my family, and it has just been sweet and wonderful. So let me encourage you. Check in with your spiritual leaders. Can I get an amen, somebody? So yesterday, I was checking in with my spiritual leader and kind of talking about the situation in the world. And Apostle said, hey, Pastor Al, you got to deal with the elephant in the room. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that elephant, but before I start talking, hey, praise the Lord, brother. Before I start talking about the elephant, I just want to thank everybody for this seat. Thank you for your blessing in my life. Thank you for encouraging me. This is an encouragement. And, you know, it is not taken lightly, but very seriously and with great, great love. So, as you can see by our wonderful graphic, which I totally love, you know, as we're stepping into the new age of using the tools available to us on the internet, on the interwebs, thank you, Jesus. He's given us tools and weapons of warfare. So, we might as well take some of the internet for Jesus or some more of the internet for Jesus. It's time to take the gloves off, is what it says up there. But let's talk a little bit about that elephant in the room. Praise the Lord. So, on the 31st of January, 2020, the World Health Organization declared a health emergency of international concern because of coronavirus, number 19. Then, just last week on the 11th, the same people, the World Health Organization, otherwise known as WHO, WHO, World Health Organization. Who that? Who characterized COVID-19 as a pandemic? Okay, so that means things are getting a little bit more serious. And what a pandemic means, it's something that is occurring worldwide. Okay? Notice I said pandemic with a P and not epidemic with an E. Okay? I thought epidemic was spelled with A. So when I went to look it up, I got it wrong at first. It's actually, epidemic is actually spelled with an E, and we ain't there yet. You know, epidemic is bad. That means there's many things going on in the world that are bad with the corona. But it is a pandemic, and it's affecting the entire world. And then on March 13th, this last Friday, Friday the 13th, our President Donald Trump declared the coronavirus situation a national emergency. And you know, I am so blessed by our president and his leadership in this particular situation, because not only did he declare a national emergency, he decided to tell the entire nation to call 911. So today, on the 15th of March 2020, we are all instructed to call 911. And today has been declared a national day of prayer. That is the best 911 that I know about. Lord, 911. We're going to call you up and we're going to ask for some help and get the Lord to... And he's been intervening. He's been there the whole time. Do not be mistaken. God's hand is not too short. He knows what's going on so much more than we do. So I would ask you all right now to please stand with me and let's honor God in prayer and come in agreement with our nation and take part of this National Day of Prayer officially in this house here at 40 South Unene. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are sovereign and that you are mighty and you're omnipotent. You've got your hand on everything and on everybody. These things are not out of your control, but you have guided and directed and protected, and you have filled us full of your Spirit, that we would be encouraged, Lord God, that we would be calm, Lord God, and that we would know your truth. And like Pastor Orlando said in the worship, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So we bind fear right now and we lose courage in the name of Jesus. We bind panic right now and we lose focus in the name of Jesus. We lose wisdom in the name of Jesus. we come against the work of the enemy, and we declare that this coronavirus is not for us. It is not for us. Any attacks of the enemy is not for us, Lord God. Pray that you would direct our steps and keep us wise, and let us use the wisdom that you have given us with, Lord God. But we also forget not those that have lost their lives in this situation. We pray for them. We pray for their families. And we pray that you would give them peace. And for those that have been diagnosed with this illness, with this disease, we pray that you would heal them right now. And that diagnosis would turn around and be reversed. And we thank you that we would come in line with our nation. We lift up our president and all our leaders. Pray that you would help them to make good decisions. We lift up the news media, Lord God, and pray that the news media would not take things in areas that they should not go, but keep things in truth, in spirit and in truth. So we give you glory, honor, and praise right now, praying for this National Day of Prayer against this coronavirus, and thanking you for all that you are about to do. In Jesus' mighty name, we all come in agreement and say
it.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Thank you for coming in agreement, everybody. Praise the Lord. A couple things. One thing that I went to the CDC website, and I've been getting a lot of my information for work from the Center for Disease Control website. Come to find out, they're closed on Saturdays and Sundays. What the heck? Hello? Hello? It's a national emergency. What do you mean you're closed and you update on Monday through Friday? What the heck? So I very carefully tiptoed into the newsroom and selected a credible channel. And the latest statistics say that 57 have passed away from the coronavirus, and nearly 3,000 have been diagnosed with the virus. There's, you know, people have compared it to the common cold. One person compared it to obesity, how many people die of obesity every year. And obesity is not a national emergency. And back when we had H1N1, I worked in the operations center that helped manage H1N1. And I think for H1N1, it was like up to 18,000 people died from H1N1. And right now, we're at 57. The potential is, of course, there. But what they say is that the mortality rate for somebody who actually gets the coronavirus is 1%. So if 100 people get it, what has been shared by the doctors is that one person out of that 100 is going to die. Okay? And something that we have learned in this church, and something that has been taught time and time again, that when things happen in life, whether it's with your kids, with your finances, whether it's at home, at work, with your relationships, whatever it is, you don't make your knee go, ha, 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 ha. You don't knee jerk. The knee stays nice and calm. And instead of, ha, ha, instead of reacting, you respond. Be calm, ask mom. Or excuse me. Or you dial 911 and ask the Lord and see what he has to say about that. Be calm, ask mom is one of those Mother's Day shirts. You know, I love that Mother's Day shirt because mom usually has the right answer. Thank you, Jesus. And mom will probably go, probably tell you, did you ask the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. So we've talked about responding and not reacting. Being the thermometer, or being the thermostat and not the thermometer. The thermostat controls the temperature, and the thermometer just goes, bang, oh no! Okay, we're not going to go bang, oh no. But really, when you look at it, brothers and sisters in Christ, this house is so prepared. This house is so well taught, and all these things that are happening now, we've been doing them for quite some time. Let's go down the list. Cleanliness. I mean, we got one of the cleanest houses in town. I mean, look at the bathrooms. Check it out. Hand washing. We've been hand washing in the children's church, and we got hand washing the pumps up in the front. And I mean, we've been doing that for years already. Tissues. We've got the ability to go remote. If you are sick, you are showing symptoms. Apostle Rocky and Pastor Bob, they said for years, if you're sick, stay home. They've said that for years. Now you can stay home and stream us and still get church at home. Apostle Rocky and Pastor Bobby have always shared with us about taking responsibility for our own personal health, whether it's working out, whether it's eating the right foods, vitamins. They've, Apostle Rocky has taught that for years. And some of you know what Apostle Rocky's real age is, and you all know what he looks like, because he walks the walk. He applies juicing and vitamins and working out. He actually does it. He just doesn't say, you need to work out. He goes out and works out, does his, and the result is, he's a healthy guy. Pastor Bobby, healthy girl. You know, I mean, come on. Great examples. So this house has been prepared and taught for a long time. And the other thing that we're doing right now is we're having special cleaning after service. Apostle Rocky and Pastor Bobby have hired somebody to come in and wipe everything down, just as a precaution, and just kind of follow some of the guidance that, that's been put out. So I am here to tell you and here to share with you, no need, jerk that knee. Amen, everybody? Okay, so the elephant is dealt with. Okay, okay, elephant, move out of the room now. Get on the side. And just to lighten up the mood for you a little bit before we get into the word, the last time I was in South Carolina, I was in this barbershop. And I'm pretty sure it was a black barbershop because I was the only white guy in there. And I was having so much fun. I mean, I just really love people from the South. I love people, the guys in this barbershop. Just had a wonderful time. And these men were talking about cars. They love talking about this car and that car. I got this size engine. And I'm like, and I'm listening to them talk and talk about their cars. So I was like, hey, I'm back here in Hawaii. I'm with some men. I want to talk about cars. And not only do I want to talk about cars with the men, but I want to say, hey, if Jesus were here, what kind of car do you think Jesus would be driving? And I just happened to be with Uncle Eugenio from Simha. And some of you know Uncle Eugenio from Simha. And of course, Uncle Eugenio spouts out and said, if Jesus were here and he was driving a car, he would probably have a Chrysler, because it's Jesus Christ. Oh, I could see Jesus driving around in a Chrysler. Praise the Lord. Let's get to the word so we stay in safety. Amen, everybody. Jesus driving a Chrysler. Yeah, boy, I think he'd be in a Toyota or a Nissan, or I don't know, maybe a Ford. Caddy. Is Caddy Chrysler? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you need a title for today's message, it's right back over there. It's time to take off the gloves. It is time to take off the gloves. The scripture for today is Isaiah 33:10. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 10. So if you can all turn there, I will get there also with you. Isaiah 33:10. And today I am reading from the Message Bible. For those of you who know Apostle, the Message Bible is his travel Bible. And I just chose the Message Bible because, you know, how things came out. And thank you, Jesus. Everybody there? Anybody need more time? Going once, going twice, going three times? Sold to Jesus, because he's the owner of all the cattle on all the hills. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 10. It is written, now I am stepping in, God says. From now on, I'm taking off the gloves. Or from now on, the gloves come off. Now see how mighty I am. Father God, we thank you for your word. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We pray that your word would be planted on our hearts, and that it would do exactly as you have intended. We receive your word right now. In Jesus' name, we all come in agreement and say, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So it is quite obvious to me, by the word of God, that God himself is taking off the gloves. In this particular verse, this is Isaiah's prophecy to Sennacherib. He's talking to Sennacherib, who's an Assyrian king, and Isaiah is prophesying during the reign and during the time of Hezekiah. Now this Assyrian king, Sennacherib, he is plundering and sieging cities, and he's taking over cities, and he's killing people, and he's conquering, and his base is in Nineveh. He conquered Babylon, he conquered Lachish, he's conquered some of the cities of the northern tribe, Judah, and he is getting ready to siege Jerusalem. Okay, so this Assyrian king getting ready to siege Jerusalem, and he sacked some of the cities around Jerusalem, but before he's going to go in and take over Jerusalem, he sends in envoys. And these envoys go to Hezekiah and say, hey, you know, we're about, you know, we're going to attack you. And Hezekiah says, well, if I give you money, and if I give you a lot of money, will you not attack us and kill everybody? So they agree. They take the money. And they say, okay, we're going to take all this money. And actually, Hezekiah, in 2 Kings 18, 14 and 15, he takes from the temple doors and the building itself, to melt the gold to give to this Sennacherib so he doesn't attack. Well, guess what Sennacherib does? He takes the money and he comes back and attacks anyway. Isn't that the devil? Liar, liar, pants on fire. If you give me, then I will. So Sennacherib says, well, if you give me, Hezekiah, okay, I'll give you, it was like 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. He gave him that, but he still came and attacked him anyway. God sees this going on, and he's saying, look, brother, you're messing with my people. The gloves are off. I'm taking the gloves off. I'm taking over this situation, and this is not going to stand. So what does God do? God uses Sennacherib's two sons in 2 Kings 19, 37, Adrammelech and Sherezer. He uses Sennacherib's two sons to kill him. So that's pretty serious. God is not messing around. The gloves are off. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
So metaphorically, God took off his gloves and he dealt with the Assyrians to protect and save Israel again from death. And the Israelis, the people of Israel, they look at this particular time as a passing of death. Like, remember in Passover when the angel passed over all the doors that had the blood of the lamb on the doorpost? During Passover, they also remember this time when Sennacherib didn't attack Jerusalem, and it's kind of part of their Passover celebration. Amen, everybody? So it's a good thing. They didn't die because God took off the gloves, and he jumped in there and took care of business. Praise the Lord. So, how does this apply to us, the church? And how does this apply to me and my life? And what's this whole thing, the gloves coming off? What does this mean to me? Look at your neighbor and say, get ready.
Get ready.
One more time. Get ready.
Get ready.
Look at your other neighbor and say, it's time to take off the gloves.
Time to take off the gloves.
One more time. It's time to take off the gloves.
It's time to take off the gloves.
Okay. Now, how does this apply? It's time to take off the gloves. If, and this is a big if for some, smaller if for others, if you have been fighting the good fight of faith, I'm talking the 1 Timothy 6:12 fight of faith. If you've been fighting the good fight of faith, if you've been praying, if you've been tithing, if you've been repenting, if you've been giving thanks, if you've been taking communion, if you've been worshiping, witnessing, fasting, sacrificing, getting godly counsel, reading the word, coming to church, speaking in tongues, binding, loosing, speaking life, speaking the name of Jesus, listening to Christian. If you've been doing all these things, if you've been fighting a good fight of faith, see, notice how I said it's a big if. Because some people have maybe done one or two of those things, right? If you've been fighting all out, man, good fight of faith, and notice how those things that I just talked to you all end with the letter ing. ing, that's a verb. That means there's some action. Praying. Tithing. Repenting. Worshiping. Fasting. You gotta do something. You gotta get your hands dirty. You gotta get in the game. You gotta get in the fight. You gotta take your gloves off to get that victory. So if you haven't been taking your gloves off, maybe we need to get our gloves off and do some of these ING things so that we can have that victory in our life. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory, victory, that's our cry. Who in Jesus? We need to get that victory. We need to have some fruit in our lives. And if our lives haven't been glorious and victorious, and the fruit has been overflowing from the basket, maybe it's because our gloves are still on, and it's time to take the gloves off.
Amen,
amen, everybody.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, gloves are meant to protect. Gloves are meant to cover. Gloves are meant to separate. And I just happen to have some blue gloves in my, or have some examples of gloves in my Toyota bag. So gloves are meant to separate. They are meant as a barrier. They are meant to, oh, look at these gloves. Hallelujah. Don't use them against your sons, because as you age, your hands get slower and your son's hands get faster. And I have learned that the hard way. So I got some gloves over here. They're meant as a barrier. They're meant to prevent things from getting in. They keep the dirt out. They keep off the blood and the mess. And spiritually, they need to be removed or circumcised, as in, how's that? It's like Mickey Mouse or something, what the heck? Spiritually, taking off the gloves has to do with the circumcision of the heart. Because as the foreskin or the calluses that build up on our heart sometimes, they need to be cut off, so that our heart is right with God. And we see that in Deuteronomy 10:16, which says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. Circumcise your heart. Take the stuff off of your heart. Take off the gloves. And I tell you, it's nice. Hey, where's Brother Michael? Throw in the towel. No, we're not going to throw in the towel. I think that towel took Brother Michael by surprise. Okay? So take it off. When you have the gloves on, it feels good to have the gloves on. You know? Because you can jab and you can hit things and your hands doesn't get hurt. Boxers, I mean, when boxers box or MMA fighters do MMA, that's a sport. That's a game. The gloves are there so that their hands don't get hurt. It protects those hands. They don't get hurt. And yeah, it's a game. It's serious, but really, is it that serious? Is it really that serious? I can tell you what is serious. My Siri watch is telling me, so I think when I went like this, it pressed a button. Siri, take my break. Cancel. Cancel, Siri, cancel. That's funny. Now see what happens when you put the gloves on. Siri, like, jump in there. That's a shot you, Siri. Siri's talking to me. What the heck? So anyway, you got the gloves on, and you're in your fight, and you're doing your thing. Left, hook, cross, uppercut, jab, you know, you're doing your, and you've got your fancy footwork. But really, if you want to win the good fight of faith, you need to... Come on, man! Come on! You need to throw them gloves off! Because with the gloves on, how are you going to grab the enemy by the throat? With the gloves on, you hit the enemy, he's going to have a nice pad. But if you take the gloves off, and you got your fists and you got your knuckles, yeah, you might get a little bloody. Yeah, you might get a little bit hurt. But you're serious! You're serious about God. You're serious about the fight of faith. You're serious about what you're doing. You see,
Too many people want to come to church and keep the gloves on. And I'll come to church, but I really won't get involved. And I'll, yeah, and I'll hug and I'll love a little bit. And, you know, I'll just kind of play church. It's like playing boxing. Forget that. I want all of God.
Yeah.
I want all of what He has. And in order for us to get all of God, we've got to take the gloves off. If you're in a marriage relationship or an intimate relationship, and you got gloves on, you got gloves around your heart because you're scared of getting hurt, do you think you're going to have the fullest of that relationship? The same thing goes for our relationship with God. If you're afraid of loving God all out, you're afraid of having that relationship with God, so you protect yourself, you hold yourself back, you put gloves or calluses around your heart or around your hands, metaphorically, you don't get all in with the Lord, you're not going to get the fullness. You will not get the fullness of God. Yeah, you may get to heaven. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Receive this. This is not about salvation. This is about a full, victorious, winning life with our God. And in order to do that, you've got to take the gloves off. And just as a paid political commercial announcement, a lot of times when you take the gloves off, especially in Hawaii, the devil says, okay, I'm going to fight you. So the devil starts taking off his shirt. And when the devil starts taking off his shirt like that, there's usually a little space right here where the nose is. So once the nose gets here, and the devil can't see you because he's taking off your shirt, that's when you pop him and run. You pop him right there in that nose thing, and you go see Daddy. Say, Daddy! 911! You know what the devil's trying to do to me? Gloves off, right in that nose. Punch him in the nose. Stand under the feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I brought some other gloves. I brought my tactical gloves and some nurse gloves. But praise the Lord, everybody gets a picture, right? Right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A little working out there, umbrella. So maybe you get a little messy, a little bloody. But we need to go all in. We need to grab the horns of the altar. We need to get in that bless me indeed mode as Jabez did in 1 Chronicles 4:10. We need to get into that I'm not getting mode, letting go mode like Jacob did in Genesis 32:24. It needs to be all out. No scare them. Go get them. Hosea 4:12-4, where we see wrestling and weeping because we are so all in to be with God and to please God. When you take the gloves off, you're telling God you're not holding back. We trust Him. We're serious. We're not afraid of getting hurt. We're not playing church. Amen? Let me say that one more time. We are not playing church. Unfortunately, some of us think that 40 South Pu'unene is the church. Huh? 40 South Pu'unene is the church? No. Some of us think that the office is the church. I'm going to call the church. Call the office. No. Some of us think Apostle Rocky Pastor Bobby is the church. No. They're not the church. We are the church. Amen, everybody? Everybody say, we are the church.
We are the church.
Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
And really, if you believe that and you receive that, that is kind of the first step of taking, not kind of, it is the first step of taking off the gloves.
Amen.
Because you know who you are. And if you know that you're the church, and you know that you got Big Daddy 911, you should be able to take off them gloves and fight the good fight of faith with no fear. Amen, everybody? So step one, 2 reps of knowing who you are. Because if you don't know who you are in the Lord, and you don't know that you are saved and sanctified, and you are the church, the gloves ain't never going to come off. Your heart will never be circumcised.
Amen.
You will stay captured and covered, and it's just not going to happen. So, know who you are. Step one. Amen? Step two, live fearless. Yeah. Step two, live fearless. And I'm talking about, some of you may know this person, I'm talking about the Cheryl Salem fearlessness. And Cheryl, if anybody knows Cheryl Salem, she talked to anybody. And she just go tell them about Jesus. And she don't care if they're a big biker guy with earrings in the nose and piercings and all. She just gonna love on them and tell them about Jesus. Because Cheryl is fearless. She's fearless. She knows who she is. She knows who her daddy is. I'm talking about Apostle Rocky. Fearless. When Apostle hugged on that guy and loved on that guy with the flesh-eating disease, that was a fearless move. His gloves were off. And that encouraged and built up that person who had the flesh-eating disease. And Apostle Rocky didn't get coronavirus. I mean, flesh-eating disease. Because he was fearless. Hallelujah. He had faith. Hallelujah. And he activated his faith because he lives a fearless life. So step two for taking off the gloves is to live fearlessly. Jesus, he turned over the tables in the temple in John 2:15 and in Matthew 21:12. Jesus did it twice. The cleansing of the temple. That move was a fearless move. Our Lord and Savior was a fearless guy. In Luke 11:43-44, Jesus calls out the Pharisees. The guys who are supposed to be the scholars and the smart people, the people that are running the show, that know all the scriptures, are supposed to know all the scriptures. But are they living those scriptures? Are they living that word? Because in that those verses in Luke 11:43-44, he said to the Pharisees, "Woe to you who love the best seats in the church, who love the accolades in the market, but inside you're callous and you're dirty. You are whitewashed tombs on the outside, but on the inside you're all full of dirt and you're all messed up." Jesus called them out. He was fearless and he lived a fearless life. Jesus had a circumcised heart and his gloves were off. Amen, everybody? Step three of taking off the gloves. Go on the offensive. Take ground. Step three, go on the offensive. If you have your gloves up so that you don't get hit, in fact, what is happening to a lot of us is we are hiding behind our shield of faith. We know that it's safe behind the shield of faith. And maybe what we should be doing with the shield of faith is using it as an offensive weapon and throwing it and bashing some people in the head with it. Because we need to go on the offense. You don't take ground by sitting behind your shield of faith and letting the enemy shoot darts at you. That's a defensive move. It's a defensive weapon, the shield of faith. Yeah, you're saved. Yeah, you're going to go to heaven. But are you taking anybody with you? Are you helping anybody out? Is anybody getting saved because of your faith? Take the faith and move forward. Move forward. Go on the offense and start bashing some devils down with this thing. Praise the Lord, everybody. I love using stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Go on the offense, man. That's the way you take ground. That's the way you take the gloves off. Where did my book go? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love sweating, too, because I get to burn off some calories. In fact, in 2020, I declare my body a fat-burning machine. Hallelujah. It's a fat-burning machine. And I'm getting more healthy and more better every day. I love Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My gloves are off. We're going on offense. Taking them. And God's always got my body. I gave it to him. That whole heart attack trick kind of like helped me learn some things about myself. But really, my gloves are coming off when it comes to my diet and my health. Thank you, Jesus. So when you're on the defense, that's a selfish move. So go on the offense and start giving and helping other people out. Just take the gloves off on offense. Luke 21:36, we see prayer, and prayer as an offensive move. Prayer that takes prayer is like getting the battlefield ready to own that ground. I mean, you need to pray before you go and do stuff. You need to pray as you're doing stuff. Prayer is just an awesome, awesome offensive weapon that is an example of taking off the gloves. If you don't pray, your gloves are still on and you're thinking about it. If you pray, whoo, them gloves coming off. And if you pray in tongues, oh, that's between you and the Lord. I'm telling you. Come on, everybody, let's go. Let's pray and provide that covering fire for those that are in the battle so that we can win that spiritual warfare, that spiritual fight. Amen. Prayer. Can I get an amen for prayer?
Amen.
Can I get an amen two times?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So to the good-looking people in all the roles of the Lord's team, ministries, Lord, through church. So, prayer is offensive. Step four, be diligent and zealous. Now, you can have a whole series for months on just those two words right there. Diligent and zeal. We get step four, we get at least 20 reps of diligence and zeal. In Proverbs 27:23, it says, be diligent. Stay on it. Be focused. Stay committed. Diligence is just such a powerful word. So be diligent to know the state of the flocks. Just stay on it. Know how the people are doing. Know how your family is doing. Know how your friends are doing. If you are diligent with your relationships, and really that's what this word is telling us, to be diligent with our relationships, you're taking ground because you care about those people. You give a rip about those people to know where their lives are at and how they're feeling, if they're feeling good, if they're feeling bad, where they at spiritually, are you doing your devotion? That is being diligent. Then when you take that diligence and you combine it with zealousness, the joy of your salvation, like Simon the Zealot, Simon Zelotes, that's a person that would do anything for the cause, that would do anything for the purposes of Christ. Just go for it. If we got to fight, we got to fight. The zealots were those who fought for what they believed in. Are you willing to have that zeal and fight for what you believe in? Take off that gloves and win the good fight of faith. Amen, everybody? Hallelujah. Those zealous, militant ones are highly motivated and just pump it up for the Lord. And that's what we need to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo. So in John 2:17, we see Jesus once again who takes off the gloves, cleanses the temple, rebukes the Pharisees. That's that diligent zealousness. Amen? So, let us review what we need to do to get the gloves off. Number one, we need to know who we are. Step one. If you don't get to step one, the other steps, ain't going to help you out. I mean, they'll help you. But step one, extremely important. So take that step one, one step at a time. Step two, live fearlessly. Right? Don't be afraid. No fear, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Right? Step three, go on the offense. Take ground. Use that shield to beat the enemy and move forward, not move backward. Go on the offense. Take that ground. And step number four, be diligent and zealous. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you don't get the gloves off, if you leave those gloves on, you are choosing to live with an uncircumcised heart, with a heart that is not open to what God would have for you. And yeah, you'll go to heaven, and yeah, you'll have salvation, but your life here on this earth will not be as full, victorious, prosperous as God intends it to be, because you're closing yourself off. You are limiting yourself. You are protecting yourself from God's purpose in your life. Amen, everybody? So get the gloves off. do not be business as usual. Do not continue taking laps around the wilderness and take a lap and take a lap and take a lap and take a lap for 40 years in the wilderness. Oh, I'm getting dizzy taking them laps. See what happens when you take laps? You don't like take laps. Get my gloves off. Stay. If you don't get the gloves off, you're not going to get delivered. You will not stay tapped in. And really, it's kind of insanity doing the same thing but expecting different results. We've always talked about in this house that it's not just time to change, but it's time to transform. And I pray that everybody would take that word to heart and transform their lives by taking the gloves off and circumcising their heart. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the name of Jesus, let's all get the gloves off and let's get serious for Jesus and let's win that good fight of faith.
Yes.
Amen, everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have Salvation Call here pretty soon, but before we do Salvation Call, there was this man who had a dog. And his dog was kind of kolohi. In fact, his dog was almost rabid, this dog. And this dog would jump the fence, get under the fence, and go next door and chase the neighbor's rabbit around and try to catch this rabbit. And this would happen day after day after day. Dog jumps the fence, under the fence, chase the rabbit around and try to catch the rabbit. And of course, the good wife of this man would say, "Hey, husband, you better get control of that dog before something bad happens. You don't want something bad to happen with your dog." So one day, the man hears this rustling in his basement, and he goes down into the bottom of the basement, and he sees the dog with the dead rabbit in its mouth, just flying the rabbit all around and messing the rabbit up even more. And it's in his mouth, and the rabbit's all, you know, its hair is all matted down, and there's blood, and the rabbit just doesn't look good because the dog got a hold of his rabbit. So the man goes up to the dog, he fights the rabbit out of the dog's mouth, and he says, like, "Oh no, this rabbit's dead, what am I going to do?" So he takes the rabbit into the bathroom, and he cleans the rabbit off. He gets some liquid Prel and some conditioner, and he cleans the rabbit up, and he fluffs the rabbit up, and gets the rabbit looking good again. So he says, "Right on, this rabbit is good." So he takes the rabbit, and he sets the rabbit up on the neighbor's porch, on the lady's porch. He sets the rabbit up all nice, all fluffy. Okay, we're good. The rabbit's good. And then he runs away, and he goes back to his house. He's like, "Whoo, got out of that one. We're good." Soon enough, the guy hears this scream. "Oh, oh, oh." So he runs downstairs, and he says, "Neighbor, what's up? What happened?" And the lady's screaming, "Oh, oh, our rabbit died 2 days ago, and we buried him in the backyard, and now he's come back to life again." Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to laugh in the house of the Lord. I got that one from Pastor Wayne. I love listening to Pastor Wayne. Thank you, Jesus. He's always got a good one. In fact, his congregation sends him jokes. So, that is funny, and we do need to laugh. But what is not funny and what is very, very serious is where you're going to spend eternity. Very important, key, and critical question. You see, when we're born, when we come out of our mother's womb, we have eternal life. We will live forever. The question is, where are you going to spend your eternity? Are you going to receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior and live forever in heaven? Or are you going to reject Christ and live in hell? Because hell is created for the devil and his fallen angels and for those that do not receive Jesus. Jesus has a place for you. He's got a mansion for you in heaven. It says it in the Word. But what you have to do is receive Him into your heart. And it's not about doing all kind of things. Really, the all kind of things come. Receiving Jesus and believing in Jesus is the first step to a wonderful, wonderful, awesome, eternal life. So if God is speaking to you right now, and if this is you and you have not received Jesus, just raise your hand and repeat this simple prayer after me. You see, we got to acknowledge God, because if we deny God before men, He's going to deny us before the Father. So we got to acknowledge and believe in Him. and receive him and repent. So we're going to say this prayer so that we can have that eternal life. Amen, everybody? Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for rejecting you. I turn to you. I repent from my sin. And I receive you now into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. Change me. Transform me. Help me to take my gloves off, that I may never, ever be the same again. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give it up for that. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family of God. If you're here in this house, come see us. We'll hook you up. We have spiritual, personal trainers that will put you through that personal training workout and help you with your relationship with God. If you are someplace else, then we've got our website, wordoftruthmaui.org, and it's there to help you out, get connected with a good church. Send us an email. We'll hook you up. We'll get you connected with a Bible preaching church. We're going to take our tithes and offerings up right now, and if you would like to give to this house, again, you can go to the wordoftruthmaui.org, or you can give right now in the collection that our heads of ushers are about to take off.